as we think about going closer and deeper and higher in this year with the Lord, let's consider in the book of 1 John in your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. Begin reading right at verse 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. And I do ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and that you would guide the preaching of your word, that it would you would say what needs to be said, that you would make the message clear. Lord, we pray that you would help us to draw close to you. Lord, that in these days, in this year, in this day, that nearer to you we might be drawn. And I pray that you would show us that which doesn't fit in our lives. Show us that which needs to be pruned away, that we might be a vessel just as you would desire us to be. And Lord, we thank you for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Drawing closer to the Lord. First of all, I want you to notice that it's a joyful place to be. Notice verse 4, talking about fellowship with God, and it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You see, in God's presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence is fullness of joy. And so drawing close to the Lord, being under the shadow of his wings, is a special place to be. It is a joyful place. And so first of all, as we think about drawing close to the Lord, it's important to point out that not everything fits in God's presence. Not everything is acceptable in God's presence. And so we see that very quickly in this talk here in 1 John about fellowship. And John says, we want to tell you about the one Lord Jesus Christ, and that you may also have fellowship with him. And he very quickly goes in to talk about several things that don't fit in the presence of God. First of all, darkness. Darkness does not fit. You see, there are some things that are mutually exclusive. As we draw close to the Lord, we need to do away with hindrances. Do away with hindrances, things that need to be pruned away from the Christian's life. That's what we're talking about here. 1 John is a book all about fellowship. It's all about fellowship in the relationship. And so it's not about getting saved. It's about fellowship with our Savior. And so John says the fellowship that we can have with God, it must be in the light. It must be in the light. You see, there are certain things that are mutually exclusive. They just, because of what they are, they do not go together. The things of God and the darkness of this world do not go together. Light and darkness are opposites. The Word of God and the ways of God and the living God himself is holy. And it does not fit with that which is sinful, prideful, ungodly, unholy. And so please notice that. Verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light." You see, if we want to have close fellowship with God, there's no place in our life for sin. Because we can't live in sin, in rebellion, in stubbornness. We can't live in lies and have fellowship with God. Sin always breaks fellowship with God. It always hinders the relationship. And so the Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And notice verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him. You see, in our world today, there are many professing Christians, many who say they have fellowship with God. But God says here, if someone says they have fellowship but does not walk in the light, they are a liar. They are lying. They are deceived. And so the Bible says, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But notice the alternative. It says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, the problem is that sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. Now, we're all sinners. We're all prone to sin. Our flesh just loves to sin in some not so obvious ways and in some blatant ways. But our flesh loves to sin. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we, when we walk in the light, when we choose to walk with God, when we choose to let God deal with anything that doesn't fit, anything that's not right in our life, we can see him help us get it right, get it taken care of, and we can have fellowship. The Bible says here right in verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So here we're called to walk in the light. And we're told that if we say we have fellowship with God, but we're walking in darkness, we're lying. And it also says here that if we say we don't have sin, we're lying. Because we all have a sin problem, but we have a great Savior. And the saving work of Jesus is not only at the point when we trust Christ to save us, but his saving grace, his cleansing blood that we sang about this morning, it is something that helps a Christian to get right and to stay right. Because through our life's journey, we have things that go wrong. We have things that get wrong in our life. We do wrong things that we have to get right. And the verse here that's very familiar is a verse not written of how to get saved, but how a child of God can get right with his Father. It says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, if we cover our sin, we will not prosper. But if we confess it and forsake it, we shall have mercy. And so God is desiring fellowship with us. He wants us to have fellowship with him. And so we must recognize, if we're going to draw close to the Lord, there are some things that must be pruned away. I looked up a little article here on why, when, and how to prune your trees. All right, this is just a horticultural article. Pruning trees. This is incidentally from a forestry board. Pruning is important. Pruning a tree is the removing of specific branches or stems to benefit the whole tree. Think about this in the spiritual application of pruning in the Christian's life. Pruning is important. It's the removing of specific branches or stems to benefit the whole tree. Why prune a tree? Several reasons. I believe six are given here. Health. For the health of the tree, it is important to remove dead, damaged, or diseased branches to help prevent insect and decay from entering the tree. Insects and decaying organisms from entering the tree. It's important to thin a dense canopy of a tree to increase the air and the sunlight, resulting in fewer disease problems. It's important to remove suckers and water spouts to eliminate weak wood and provide more food and water for the tree that is healthy. Eliminate crossing branches to prevent damage caused by their rubbing against each other. It's important to take off weak or narrow crotches, split apart as the tree grows older. Remove these crotches to eliminate breaking and tearing of the wood. It continues on. It's important to remove co-dominant leaders in a tree. Co-dominant leaders are two branches growing near the top of a tree that grow straight up and become equally dominant. A verse comes to mind in Matthew chapter 6 that says, "You cannot serve two masters. For he will love the one and hate the other, hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't serve God and the things of this world. And so the article goes on to say you need to only have one leader on a tree, one leader. Cutting off one allows the other branch to grow and become the dominant branch. This prevents the branches from splitting and tearing wood that is often a problem in heavy winds. Okay, so that's for health. Why prune a tree? Well, it's for the health of the tree. It's important to remove diseased or erratic growth so that it can be a healthy tree. All right, another reason is for safety, it says here. Correct pruning procedures create and maintain a strong tree structure. And that's so true with a Christian. Good pruning in a Christian's life makes the Christian strong. It helps that Christian to be strong. Another area says, why prune a tree? To maintain the proper tree formation, the natural tree form. Often, the article says, often erratic branches grow that change the growth habit of other branches. This results in a misshaped tree. Early removal of these vigorous branches maintains a natural tree formation. So you want the tree to grow and be what it should be a normal, natural, healthy tree. And so the instruction here is to prune off erratic branches. And the same is true in our lives as a Christian. Erratic, misplaced, things that don't belong need to be pruned. And God certainly helps us with that, for we are not the husbandman, but He is. We are just the branch. He is the pruner. And so we must recognize this. As we draw close to the Lord, not everything fits. The article goes on. Pruning helps stimulate growth. Pruning helps stimulate growth. Pruning can stimulate growth in sparse areas of the tree. Pruning can also restrict growth where too much growth is undesired. And so you can help the tree to grow better by pruning it. And it will put its energy, it'll put its all of the resources from the roots coming up, the trunk, all of those things will be put into the healthy branches that are there. It'll be put into the structure that is left after the pruning. And so pruning is important for stimulating healthy growth. And then it goes on to talk about when should you prune a tree. And of course, the timing of pruning trees is important, and different species of trees, it's different. All right, but one thing it says at the beginning of when to prune a tree, it says this, quote, dead, damaged, and diseased branches should be removed as soon as possible. And so we think of the Christian's life as we think about pruning and really letting God shape our life. The common thought today in Christianity is that, you know, we just need to accept everybody and love everybody and just, you know, let everybody be the way they're going to be, right? And just, you know, help them to love Jesus and realize they need Jesus, but no real change, no real application of the Bible to daily life. Well, that's the Christian sentiment today. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Certainly, the Bible teaches that we should love people. Love them where they are, but love them to Jesus. And teach them the Scriptures. The Great Commission calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it calls us to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, God says. Call them to follow the Lord in obedience in the first step there of baptism and obeying the Lord and identifying with Jesus. And we see 1 John identifying this, that a Christian cannot walk in darkness and be in fellowship with God. And so sin must be pruned. Of course, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells the believer, as he looks around and sees others who've gone before, calls us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Lay aside the weight and the sin. Perhaps there's branches on the tree of our life that, you know, they're not wrong in themselves, but they're hindering the growth of other branches, and they need to go. Because in order for that tree to be healthy, it only has so much food, and that food, that energy, that sap needs to be directed in the right places. Because if there's suckers and all of these misplaced, erratic branches that are unhealthy and they're weak, they're the wrong place, they're poor placement, they're just not according to a healthy tree, it's going to suck the life from that tree. And so they need to be pruned. But there's also sin. Sin in our lives that certainly must go. And so if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so we see some of these hindrances that need to be pruned away is darkness or sin, that which is contrary to light, that which is contrary to the clear teaching of the Bible, that which is contrary to the example Jesus gave us. Notice chapter 2 of 1 John and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He, that's Jesus, is the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins. Jesus is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the... You see, here we're getting where today's Christianity talks about love, but God balances love with obedience to his word. Notice verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. It's interesting, in these first two chapters of 1 John, there's a lot of talk about if you say, or the man who says he, and you know, talk is cheap. The Christian life was intended to be lived, not talked about. The Word of God was intended to be lived, not set to the side. And so we need to remove hindrances. There are things that need to be pruned. I notice another thing, not only the darkness, that which is contrary to light, the sin, that which is disobedience against God, but also notice disdain for others is to be pruned out of the Christian's life. 1 John chapter 2, notice verse 7. Brethren, brothers in Christ, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith, here we got the person who says, verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. You see, 1 John identifies there's a problem. There's a discrepancy between what many people say and how many people live. People say they have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. And it evidences that they're not in truth. They're not telling the truth. They're deceived. Also, it says, talks about if we say we have no sin. Well, we all have sin, and so we need to confess it. We need to get it right, because God is faithful to cleanse us from our sin. And we see here, it talks about hatred towards our brother. God says, if you're not obeying my commandments, then you can't love me. My love is perfected through the obedience to my commandments. And he says here about our brother, our relationship to others. He says we cannot have disdain for others and be right with God. We cannot have disdain or hatred towards others and be right with God. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. You see, sometimes people go around and maybe somebody will drive by and they're like, man, that guy, you know, I'll tell you what he did to me. Or they say, I'm not going in there, you know. He never says hi to me on the street. You know, whatever, there's this disdain towards other people and oftentimes towards other believers. He offended me, and so I'm gonna go around on the other side because I don't want to see him. That kind of behavior, God says, is not of God. It's of darkness. And it needs to be pruned away. You see, that hatred breeds into malicious thoughts and also to bitterness, and it's a diseased limb that must be pruned off ASAP, as soon as possible. The article says dead, damaged, diseased branches should be removed as soon as possible. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. The article says
If it's diseased, if it's damaged, if it's dead, it needs to be cut off right away. And so we see there are some things that must be pruned. If we're going to draw close to the Lord, we must recognize that there are some things that got to go. There are things that don't fit. Darkness does not have any place under the shadow of His wing. Sin has no place in the presence of our Lord. Disdain or hatred for another has no place for the child of God saying they have fellowship with God. And then another one is identified here in chapter 2. Please notice verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man," boy, here we have this drawing lines again and really drawing a contrast. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You see, these are things that are mutually exclusive. By the very nature of what they are, the world and God do not go together. Now, of course, Jesus loves the people of the world, for God so loved the world. That's not what this is talking about. This isn't talking about hating people. In fact, it just talked about how we shouldn't hate people. We ought to love people. But the worldliness of the world, the sinfulness of the world, the ways of the world, the lust of the eyes, it goes on to say, or the lust of the flesh here in verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's some serious contrasts that 1 John draws of things that don't belong in a Christian's life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, but what it means is you can't love both. You can't have a love for the Father and a love for the world. There's two leaders. There's two leaders on that tree. And they're both vying for the leadership spot. And the horticultural article says there must only be one leader or that tree will go down in a storm. It is a weakness of a tree. And so it's important to remove co-dominant leaders. And so is true in the believer's life. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And so we need to let the Holy Spirit show us, hey, what needs to be pruned in my life? It's not enough to say, hey, I have fellowship with God. It's not enough to say, hey, I walk in the light. It's not enough to say, I love God. God says here, there must be a clear obedience of walking in the light, of confession of sin, of a love for our brother, of an imitation of Christ, as it says in 1 John 2, verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." He ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. We need to live the way Jesus would have us live, the way the Word of God teaches. You see, the Holy Spirit will show us what needs to be pruned, what needs to be changed in our life. Let's notice the illustration that the Bible gives in John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches. John chapter 15. This is a vine in this case, but just right along with the illustration we have here. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. Jesus is speaking here. Personally, he is talking and speaking and says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You see, the real question, the beginning question is, am I saved? Am I in the right tree, right? Am I connected to the right roots? Am I grounded in Christ? Am I saved? And the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the true vine. You know what? There's false vines. There are people who going through Christian motions. There may be people who look really good or look like good branches, but they may not be connected to the true vine. And so, of course, someone needs to be saved. They need to trust Christ as their Savior, recognize that they're a sinner, and that Jesus is the only way of salvation. They need to turn from self-dependence unto God-dependence alone. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the one who examines the trees, the vines. My Father is the one who brings the snippers. My Father is the one who says, hey, this branch doesn't belong. This needs to go. This needs to be trimmed here. That needs to be trimmed there. It's my Father who is the caretaker. And so we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing it is that as the Christian, God's Word never conflicts with the Holy Spirit's leading. The Holy Spirit's leading never contradicts what the Word of God teaches. And so we know that God, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, both in union together, speak to us. So that God guides us through His Word by the Holy Spirit as we seek Him. And so God will help us to know what needs to be pruned as we draw close to the Lord. Because not everything belongs in the presence of God. And so notice verse 2 here, John 15, verse 2. It says, every branch in me, all right? Notice again, it's in Him, it's in Christ. They're connected to the right vine, to the true vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There are times when a Christian, because of stubbornness and hard-heartedness, is laid to the side because God sought to work, but there is uncooperation in that Christian's life. And so Jesus alludes to that here. But notice also the second part of the verse. Every branch that beareth fruit. So here's a fruit-bearing Christian. There's some growth, there's some fruit in their life, but God says that the husbandman, which is the Father, purges that fruit-bearing branch. So here we have a branch that's bearing fruit. It's healthy in most of the ways. It's bearing fruit, but the husbandman comes and trims there too. Why? So that it will bring forth more fruit. That's exactly what the horticultural article said. Why prune trees? Pruning a tree is removing specific branches or stems to benefit the whole tree. It's for health. It's for safety. It's for maintaining the normal natural tree growth or the tree form. It's to stimulate growth. And see, a tree is more fruitful when it's wisely pruned by the husbandman. Are we willing to draw close to the Lord? First John tells us, it's not enough to say we love God. It's not enough to say we walk in the light. It's not enough to say we have fellowship with God. It's not enough to say what we're supposed to say. We must do. Otherwise, there's a discrepancy. How is our fellowship with God? As we consider the important matter of drawing closer to the Lord, there are hindrances that must be put away. They must be pruned. God will show us what doesn't fit. There may be some things that are weights in the runner's life that hinder. They're not sinful in themselves, but they just hinder. They don't fit. Or there is sin, that which is contrary to the Lord, contrary to the things of God, that also need to go. Will we allow God, the husbandman, the loving husbandman, to prune our lives, that we might have a closer walk with God? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this important instruction, and yet sobering instruction to us. Help us to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, that we would listen, that we would allow you to do the pruning work that you want to do in our lives. Oh Lord, help us not to boast of our fellowship or boast of how we walk in the light, but help us to be exemplary in the way we live our life, that it would be obvious and not have to even be stated. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to draw closer to you. And I pray that you would lovingly and gently show us what needs to be pruned, what doesn't fit, what is a hindrance, what is unhealthy. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.